Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
So someone got hold of Rudy Giuliani's presidential campaign playbook and leaked it to the Daily News, letting the world in on the former mayor's concerns about his two ex-wives coming back to haunt him, letting us in on the identity of his chief donor and fundraiser with ties to the Swiftboat Group, and more. And we will use that as a launching point now for a look at the Republican presidential field. Any Republicans invited to call in right now and tell us who you would like to see as your party's nominee. What if a primary were being held today, January 3rd, 2007, for the 2008 presidential nomination? Republicans, who would you like to vote for out of anyone who might be a candidate? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. And with us for some background is Todd Purdom, former New York Times correspondent who has an article in the new Vanity Fair about John McCain. He's now Vanity Fair's national editor. And Todd, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
It's my pleasure to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So did you learn anything from this Rudy briefing book leaked to the Daily News? I'm sure you've been reading these articles.
No, I mean, I think it's hard to say that there's anything really shocking in it. It's a pretty apparently it's the take of one aide to Mayor Giuliani on some of the vulnerabilities he would face if he became a full-fledged presidential candidate. I think people in New York well know those vulnerabilities, and they include, as you said, his ex-wives, Bernard Carrick, the whole kind of controversy that surrounded his administration, frankly. And it's easy to forget that before 9/11 catapulted him back into the limelight and the good graces of the public, he was in a bad way politically and personally and in every other way in his reputation in New York. So I think for the people who know him, this would come as no surprise. It's probably embarrassing for people who are just getting to know him in Iowa and New Hampshire. It doesn't help him. But I think he has other problems way beyond the leak of this briefing book.
A lot of the coverage has centered on some of the donors and some of the people he's trying to raise money from who are committed to other candidates, as it turns out. But reading from the Daily News today, it says one name appears throughout the document, Paul Singer, a discreet hedge fund tycoon who has been described as the Republican George Soros. He was one of George Bush's most important financial supporters in 2004, a donor to Swiftboat Veterans for Truth, and a prominent backer of an anti-affirmative action campaign in Michigan, according to campaign finance and press reports. Are you familiar with Paul Singer, and do you have any reaction to his association with Giuliani, who's, you know, supposedly a Northeast liberal on social issues?
No, I confess, Brian, I don't know that individual. But in some ways, it's not surprising that Giuliani would be seeking money from wherever he could find it. This past year, John McCain took money from the Wiley brothers of Texas, who in 2000 had run a kind of very negative ad that was effectively an ad against him under the guise of a group called Republicans for Clean Air. And McCain at that time told them to take their dirty money back to Texas. Well, this year he took money from them in his prospective 2008 campaign. He ultimately gave it back because they came under federal investigation. But when you're hunting for money in politics, you tend to take it from the people who are willing to give it to you. And if they disagree with you on the issues, in some ways, that's all the better, because then it doesn't look as if they're getting anything for their money if they disagree with you on some important issues.
And actually, to me, maybe the most interesting thing from this document that I've read is what the Daily News calls a note written in the margin, quote, false comfort with numbers, unquote, apparently referring to Giuliani's high poll numbers. What do you make of it?
Poll numbers are almost meaningless. They reflect his name recognition. They reflect the glow that some people have about what his reputation was like in the wake of 9/11. They don't reflect anything about what it would really be like for him to go house to house in Iowa and New Hampshire, campaign with people who would, when they came to know his positions on questions like gay marriage or abortion rights, almost certainly disagree with him, some of the party activists. And, you know, the history of New York candidates in recent times, and this will be a test in some ways for Senator Clinton, too, although she's her reputation far exceeds just being a New York candidate, but it's problematic. I mean, New York has its whole batch of baggage, New York City, New York State, and I think that Mayor Giuliani will have a hard time translating his appeal to a national audience. You know, we're not supposed to be predictive in political journalism, and I wouldn't ever predict that, you know, I would never say never, but he strikes me as a candidate who has a lot of vulnerabilities, a lot of difficulties, which this briefing book in some ways sums up.
All right. Now, we're going to take some phone calls. We're going to talk about your article in Vanity Fair about McCain. Maybe we should go down the list first of who's likely in and out of this race and just get some names on the table. So McCain, presumably in. Rudy, presumably in. Pataki, probably in. Perhaps the Texas governor, Rick Perry. Perhaps the Arkansas governor, Mike Huckabee, who's going to be a guest here next week. Perhaps Sam Brownback, the senator from Kansas, running as a social conservative. Perhaps Mitt Romney, who's, I guess, announcing an exploratory committee today, governor of Massachusetts as he leaves office. Perhaps Newt Gingrich. And here's another one from Tony in Mineola. Tony, you're on WNYC.
Hi, good morning.
How you doing, Tony?
Very good, and yourself?
Good. So who are you leaning toward?
I saw Chuck Hagel speak about a month ago at the Cato Institute program in the city. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was about 2 months ago. He's an outstanding candidate. I'm really excited about the possibility that he may be on a national ticket.
Give me some characteristics. What do you like about Chuck Hagel?
Well, he seems to have some of the best of the populist view ideas of McCain, while still having some of the civil rights views of a guy like Giuliani. I don't think he's going to play to the Christian right, but by the same token, by being a Midwesterner, he's well positioned. I think he would bring. I think he'd be an excellent president. So I think he'd make a very good vice presidential candidate as well.
Thank you very much. He's been a thorn in the side of the Bush administration a bit early on the Iraq War. Is Chuck Hagel likely in, as far as you know, Todd Purdom?
It's hard to tell. I agree with the caller that he'd make an excellent candidate, and I think in some ways he'd probably make an excellent president. He has military experience. He has experience in business. He's a wealthy entrepreneur in the telecommunications business. The problem for him, in practical terms, is that he occupies, as the caller noted, that same little niche that John McCain does, which is a kind of a maverick streak, a person who is hard to categorize. He's a four-square conservative in many ways, but he also has been a critic of the Bush administration's conduct of the Iraq War. He's been a skeptic about a number of other things. He's a very appealing guy, personally. He's one of the most interesting people in Washington right now, I think. He and Senator McCain are neighbors in the Senate office building, and they used to be pretty close friends. I think their friendship has cooled a little bit in recent months as the prospect of their becoming rivals has come to the fore. So I don't know whether he'll wind up getting in or not. He's not very old. He certainly would not be too old to do it 4 years from now if mm-hmm. he didn't do it now.
Anybody else who I left off that perspectives list that you would want to add?
No, I mean, I think it's a pretty long list. The one other thing that, since you guys are in New York, we should not forget is I still haven't ruled out in my own mind the possibility of a Bloomberg candidacy. Now, the problem is he
not
can't
as a
really
Republican,
run as a national
though.
Republican.
Right.
But I haven't ruled out the notion that he could do some kind of third party or independent campaign, which could roil the waters a little bit. He certainly has the money to do it.
I want to save that for another segment, actually. And we've talked about this before. We'll talk about it again. My prediction is that 1 year from today, we will still be sitting here speculating whether Michael Bloomberg is going to run as an independent, because he won't have to gear it up until then, whereas all these guys trying to run within the party infrastructure and who have to raise money from other people, you know, have to declare much sooner. So
that's a very good point, and we should not forget how late in 92 it was that Ross Perot really made himself a force in that race.
Yeah, that's right. We have to take Tom's call, listening on the Internet, because he's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is currently the center of the universe since the death of President Ford. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Did you go visit the casket by any chance?
You know, I didn't. Having lived in New York City for so many years and knowing what New Year's is down at Times Square, I stayed away from that madness here in Grand Rapids, but watched it from television.
Mm-hmm. All right. And why are you calling us today?
Well, you know, to give a New Yorker, now Midwesterner's perspective on Mr. Giuliani, I lived in New York when he was in public office there, and with his sort of moderate Republican, or he wouldn't be considered ultra-conservative by any means, he would play well in Michigan, because Michigan is a divided state, with Detroit being very metropolitan, very New York-like. And, you know, with his Mayor of America kind of persona, I think he would play very well in Michigan. And the, you know, the items that were taken from his briefcase or from his book, I think if they're pulled out to try and bring him down, it might have a backlash, because people here tend to be pretty forgiving in that respect.
All right, Tom, thank you very much. By the way, this thing, Todd Purdom, about the, and my guest is Todd Purdom, national editor of Vanity Fair. He has an article in the new edition about John McCain. You may recognize his name as a longtime New York Times correspondent. That byline was on the front page many, many times of your local New York newspaper, or one of them. This thing that Giuliani spokeswoman Sunny Mandel is saying, the quote, "This is clearly a dirty trick. The voters are sick and tired of this kind of thing," claiming that it was a theft. "They stole my plans," is the headline of the Daily News today, the big front page headline. And yet, apparently, one of the aides left this in a piece of luggage that got lost on an airplane. Lost it.
Yes, it apparently was the sole piece of luggage that went missing from this private aircraft that the aide was riding on, and after some requests to return it, it appeared a couple days later with this material missing. So
it would have to have been an inside job in that case.
Well, the suggestion is it would have to have been someone who did them dirty at the charter company or someplace, but I mean, it's a very, yes, it's a kind of a complicated mystery, and I mean, I think in some ways that deflects attention from, in a way, the least interesting part about it is how it went missing. The most interesting part is the substance of what's in it. And, you know, I think in some ways, as even the McCain camp said, there's really nothing so surprising in there. It's kind of a restatement of the obvious. The problem in politics today is politicians so seldom state the obvious that it's kind of frightening when you see them forced to do so.
You know, it's interesting, looking at our callers, and we'll get to a few more, mostly, I guess, because of the way we started the conversation, people are calling in to say, Rudy, yes or no. But when we did this with respect to Democrats and who Democrats would like for 2008 last week, we had a huge surge of people who wanted Al Gore to get into the race. So there's some juice there on the Democratic side, people who are unsatisfied with the prospect of Hillary Clinton as the front runner or Barack Obama as the main challenger to her, and who think Gore would be a victorious candidate for various reasons. Maybe there's no particular surge like that coming from the Republicans, because people around the country are pretty interested in the guy you write about this month, John McCain?
Well, I think people are certainly interested in him. They feel they know him. He's a big star. I mean, traveling around with him this past fall, he gets the kind of treatment that very few politicians get. Every place he goes, he attracts a great deal of attention. He travels with almost a kind of presidential level intensity in his schedule. He's a familiar figure to people, and, you know, more so all the time. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is the most wide-open presidential race since 1952, but no matter how you slice it, and there's no obvious heir on the Republican side, and there's no clear, in some ways, Senator Clinton is obviously the clear front-runner on the Democratic side, but there are so many questions about her appeal that, you know, Democrats are clearly nervous. So I think it's a very interesting time, and this next few months, frankly, will be very interesting, because the realities of the calendar mean that people will have to get their ducks lined up pretty soon.
I'm interested in some of the people who are out, as well as some of the people who I listed who are in. Santorum was considered a likely candidate. He got defeated. George Allen was considered a likely candidate. He got defeated. Frist was considered a likely candidate. Now doesn't think he can win. Maybe he was just too humiliated by his role in the Schiavo case. Condi Rice, there was this draft Condi movement. I haven't heard that in a while, maybe because she's considered such a failure on Iraq. So all these people who are in are now out.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think one of the realities of serving in the United States Senate is most people wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and think, if that guy down at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue can do it, why not? Why can't I do it? So I think automatically every senator, and for that matter a governor, statewide official, might automatically think, you know, of him or herself as presidential timber. You've summarized the reality for those guys very well. I mean, they time and tide and their own mistakes intervened, and I think a person like Senator Frist, who's now gone back to Tennessee and resumed his medical practice, you know, his prospects were terribly damaged by his role in the Schiavo case, and frankly also by his stewardship of the Senate, in which it couldn't be said that the Republicans really managed to get a lot done. So, and Santorum's defeat, you know, whenever you lose your own state, it's not a very good sign.
That can't run for president on the basis of that. Here's an email that's for Judy, Rudy Giuliani. I combined the two and came up with Judy. As a moderate Republican white male from Louisiana, previously living in New York, I would like to see Giuliani run with Dr. Rice as his VP, strong on homeland security, racial healing, and socially moderate. We're going to run out of time in a minute, but I just want to focus a little bit of a spotlight on Newt Gingrich, who I guess is considering a run. And it seems to me that he is very interestingly positioned to run right now. I know he had that little bit of a scandal when he had to leave the speakership. But, you know, here's a guy with strong conservative credentials, obviously, an intellectual force, whether you agree with his positions or not. And somebody who may be pretty well positioned to challenge McCain a bit from the right, but with that national leadership credibility.
No, I think it's quite possible that Speaker Gingrich could bide his time a little bit here. He is very smart. I mean, he's really one of the smartest people in the past 25 years in politics. He knew in 1994 and the years leading up to it how to position his party to take back control of Congress. He's been a big sort of theoretician and rhetorician of the party for the past 10, 15 years anyway. So I think, you know, I wouldn't count him out. And he is the kind of person who, especially if some of these other people falter or stumble in the early going, is well positioned to come in as a kind of establishment figure in the party who's also got fresh ideas.
Take 20 seconds. I only have 20 seconds. Plug your article and what's new about McCain that we learned from your Vanity Fair piece.
Well, I think the main thing I focus on is just, can he keep the charming, wonderful, maverick qualities that made him a star in 2000, can those translate when he's trying to do what you have to do when you're a Republican front runner, which is suck up to every constituency that controls the party, and those tend to be disproportionately the conservatives?
Todd Purdom, national editor for Vanity Fair. His article in the new edition is about John McCain. Todd, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.